Chapter 9. Zara. The morning sun rises, bringing light to the world and ushering in our first day beyond the Ark. Hesitantly, we push away the rocks and emerge from our hole, muscles protesting from being cramped for so many hours. Sleep had been impossible to come by, and not only because of the uncomfortable nature of our accommodations. The howls of the manticores persisted throughout the night, finally vanishing as dawn's light crept over the horizon. I follow Owen into the ravine, blinking against the change in brightness. It looks like a completely different world from the one I'd imagined during the night, its appearance unexpectedly much less sinister. The hills are dry and arid, a desert, unlike anything found in Tarsinium. Red rocks and tangled thickets of brush cover the ground, adding some variation to the desolate landscape. Above, the sun grows brighter as it climbs into the sky, and the air is stiflingly hot, despite it being early in the morning.
"I think it's safe," Owen says, his posture becoming less tense as he steps away from the rocky overhang. "And it looks like we're alone."
"Perhaps those things are nocturnal," I suggest, picking my way through the thorny brush.
"My thoughts exactly," he replies.
He stops and looks around, trying to gather his bearings.
"I think the Ark is that way."
He points in one direction, then looks up, using his hand to shield his eyes.
"Judging by the position of the sun, I'd say that way is north, and that way is west."
He points in two other directions.
"Where do you think we should go?" I ask.
He shrugs.
"One place is as good as any," he replies, "so long as we have decent shelter."
I swallow, throat feeling parched.
"There are other more pressing concerns, I think, like getting water and food."
He grimaces.
"That may prove difficult.
These hills look like they haven't seen rain in months." He kicks a small stone, sending up a cloud of dust to prove his point.
"Water will attract food, but if anywhere is going to have water, it's these ravines."
Gesturing in a random direction, I say,
"Shall we begin exploring then?"
He nods, and we begin wandering through the rough and barren hills. The way is much easier to traverse in the daylight, though this introduces a slew of other problems. The higher the sun climbs, the hotter it becomes, scorching the land mercilessly as we try to keep to shadier paths.
"Why in the light is it so hot?" I think, as I wipe away a bead of sweat from the side of my face.
"It's winter inside the Ark. Shouldn't the seasons function similarly out here?" The more I contemplate it, though, the more it sort of makes sense. Radiant shields, especially those conjured by powerful mages, are meant to preserve. Everything within the shield is maintained and protected by magic, preventing outside forces from causing harm. Whatever malign influences destroyed this world have been kept out by the Ark, leaving Tarsinium the same as it was before the Doom. I suspect the transformation of this land has something to do with the demon's magic, which sucks the life out of all living things. We continue on for what seems like hours, pushing through brambles and climbing over dusty stones. My robes soon become ripped and tattered, my exposed skin scraped and bloody. Owen and I talk little as we go, the gravity of the situation weighing down on us. We're exiles, now in a hostile wilderness, ruled by demonic monsters. It's not the sort of thing you survive long. My stomach growls, a long, empty noise that seems to echo through the hills. "Sorry," I say, blushing as Owen looks back over his shoulder.
"It's all right," he replies. "I'm hungry too."
I pause, using this as an opportunity to catch my breath.
Do you think we'll be able to find anything out here? I mean, it's called the Wastes for a reason. He hesitates before responding, eyebrows knitting together.
I think so. I mean, those creatures last night have been able to survive out here, so that means there must be a food source. Also these.
He crouches down and touches one of the short, thorny bushes.
There has to be some water here, otherwise these plants wouldn't be able to survive.
I nod, though his words do little to ease my worry. This is a land we have no knowledge about. How can we hope to live out here? For all we know, everything here could be poisonous.
We continue onward, falling back into a grim silence.
After what seems like hours, we stumble into a narrow valley between two particularly large hills. The vegetation grows thicker here, though the hills themselves are just as drab as the rest of the area. As we approach, something reflects the light of the sun, which has grown hotter the longer we've walked.
Water,
I declare, pointing excitedly. Owen grins, picking up his pace as we rush toward the spot at the bottom of the valley. Sure enough, resting in a shallow depression in the rock, is a small pool of crystal-clear water. It looks no more than a foot deep at its center, and is perhaps 10 feet in diameter, stretching in an uneven circle. As we draw near, I resist the urge to plunge my hands into the water and thirstily lap it up. My biology lessons at the academy immediately come to mind, reminding me that standing water is known to make people sick.
Do you think it's safe to drink? I ask, as Owen crouches down to examine the water with a critical eye.
He rubs his chin thoughtfully.
I think so.
What makes you so sure?
He points to the center of the pool.
You see those ripples?
I squint, only just now noticing small, almost imperceptible undulations on the water's surface.
Yes, I see them.
That means it's a natural spring, he replies, which makes sense, considering how dry it is out here. Any rainwater, if it ever does rain, would quickly dry up, but underground springs would remain unaffected. That must be what's feeding these plants.
I'd be more fascinated if I wasn't so thirsty, I reply, crouching down beside him.
Reaching down, I dip my fingers into the pool, and am surprised to find that it's cold. Owen is less tentative than I am. He dips his whole hand in and cups some water, bringing it up to his mouth and slurping loudly. I quirk an eyebrow at him.
How is it?
He grins.
Delicious.
Too thirsty to wait and see if he keels over, I cup my own hand and take a drink, letting the cool liquid wash over my parched tongue. It tastes divine, clean and crisp like snow melt, with a faint mineral taste. We spend the next several minutes noisily drinking our fill, then washing off our hands and faces, further cooling us down. Sighing in contentment, I sit back on the rock, forgetting for a moment my hunger and my fear of being out here.
We still need to find a more permanent shelter, Owen says after a moment. Preferably away from this spring.
Why's that?
This could be the only source of water for miles, he replies, picking up a small pebble and tossing it in. That means animals will use it for drinking.
I grimace, eyeing the small pool. Suddenly, the thought of sharing the same water with one of those horrid creatures makes my stomach churn.
We'll stay close enough that we can easily sneak down here for a drink, but I think we should keep our distance.
All right, I say, grudgingly pushing myself to my feet. Hiking in the hot sun is the last thing I want to do right now, but he has a point.
Let's get going, then.
We stray from the spring, moving out of the valley and into a ravine that seems to split one of the hills in two. It's narrow but fairly shaded, with plenty of ledges and overhanging bushes.
More importantly, however, is the small cave at the end, which appears tall enough to allow even Owen to stand up inside. Creeping into the ravine, the two of us pause halfway to the cave.
"It looks like a good place," I whisper while pointing. "But do you think anything else has claimed it?"
"I'm not sure," he replies. He creeps forward, looking at everything from the dirt beneath his feet to the brambles he passes, but doesn't linger too long over any one detail. Stopping at the mouth of the cave, he finally peers inside.
"I don't see any sign of an animal," he says quietly, looking over his shoulder at me. "But I want to be certain before we settle down. I wouldn't want to wake up to find a dark hound chewing on my leg."
"Lovely," I reply dryly. "Now I'm going to have nightmares."
He cautiously steps inside, picking up a rock to use as self-defense. Then he disappears, completely vanishing into the darkness. I look around uneasily, waiting for him to return. I feel exposed out here, even in this little ravine.
"You better not die in there, you great lummox," I think nervously. "I will not be left out here to fend for myself alone."
Finally, he emerges, unharmed and grinning.
"It's empty," he declares, no longer bothering to lower his voice. "It goes pretty deep, but there's nothing in there but sand."
"Perfect," I reply, feeling relieved.
Making my way over, I stand beside him and peer inside. It takes a moment for my eyes to adjust, but when they do, I can make out a semicircular chamber with a floor of grit and sand. Farther back, the cave closes off, becoming increasingly narrow until nothing but a small crack lies at the end. The air is cooler inside, almost to the point of being cold, and it feels like the first safe place we've encountered since being exiled.
"Home sweet home,"
he offers me a grim smile. I nod and look out into the valley.
"So, we now have water and shelter. Not bad for our first day."
Owen glances up at the sun.
"Still a few hours of daylight left. I bet we can accomplish more."
I let out an exhausted sigh. "You never stop to rest, do you?"
He chuckles.
"Not when I'm trying to survive. Next, we'll need to find some wood for a fire. It'll keep us warm at night and help us cook food, if we manage to find any."
Holding out my empty hands in front of me, I give him a meaningful look.
"In case you weren't aware, I don't have my talisman with me. How do you suggest we make a fire?"
He gives me an odd look.
"Zara, I've trained as a ranger."
"And?"
"And I'd be a sorry excuse for a ranger if I couldn't light my own fires. Come on."
He walks out of the cave, heading back into the hot, dry air.
And he's definitely not a sorry excuse for a ranger.
Rolling my eyes, I let out a huff, reluctantly leaving the cool cave to go after him. We set to work gathering up thorny branches of brambles nearby, carrying the dead twigs to the back of the ravine and piling them inside our little shelter. Fortunately, it isn't long until we have a large stack. Owen then begins trying to light a fire, digging a small pit and placing within it a little mound of the slimmest twigs and dry brush. He removes a small polished stone from a hidden pocket in his breeches before pulling off his belt, which causes me to blush and glance away. He seems oblivious to my sudden awkwardness, which automatically makes me feel foolish. Using the metal of his belt buckle, he strikes the stone repeatedly, producing a small shower of sparks until the kindling begins to smoke.
"Well done,"
I exclaim, scooting closer as he bends down to gently blow on the embers. After a few tries, the twigs ignite, crackling and popping as a small fire comes to life. Together we feed the flames until they grow into a decent blaze, warming the air and casting a flickering light onto the cave walls.
Fortunately, the smoke filters up through a crack in the ceiling, allowing us to easily breathe, despite being in a mostly enclosed space. The sight of the flames is comforting, reminding me of civilization, and promising that the nights will not be spent entirely in darkness.
"I told you I could do it," he murmurs, glancing at me out of the corner of his eye and smirking.
"Forgive me for doubting you, O great pyrotechnic one," I reply sarcastically. "Your wisdom and magnitude shall not be questioned again."
"Good," he replies, his smirk growing into a self-satisfied grin. "See that it isn't."
We share a laugh, then set off to work once more, fortifying the entrance to our cave so that the light of the fire will be obscured when night falls. Together we move a hefty boulder and pull up bushes, creating a kind of barrier to cover the front. When we finally finish, the sun begins its last descent at the edge of the horizon. Standing at the mouth of the cave, I watch as the sky gradually darkens from orange to violet, then finally to a dusky blue. The light of the stars begins to shine, tentatively coming out to brighten the night. Just as I'm about to head inside, I hear something rustling at the mouth of the canyon, a sound like crumbling stones. My blood chills as a howl rips through the air. One of the demons has apparently returned, and now we're trapped in the dead end of a ravine. "Owen," I hiss, rushing back inside, "I think we're in trouble."